keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guest, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good afternoon, and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is CIO New Year Agenda, a weather forecast or more. Our guests for today's show are Deirdre Woods and Andres Carvalho. Deirdre is the CIO with the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, and Andres is the Chief Information Officer with Austin Energy. Good afternoon, panel. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, so how's winter treating you guys? I think, Andres, you're in Texas, so you must be all enjoying the summer already.
Well, you know, a lot of people in Texas are sort of complaining and asking for the rebates on their house that they just bought because the weather is too cold.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's been in the 30s for too long, and 40s and 50s, so it's colder than usual in Texas right now.
Wow. Now, the new year does, of course, bring a little bit of cold where Andres is saying that people are complaining, but at the same time, it also brings the agenda before and after, and that's what we are here to discuss. The new CIO agenda is what we are looking at. Now, first of all, for most people, they don't understand, are these a couple of bullet-pointed lines which are shown as a sophisticated way of telling how and what we are going to do in the coming year? So let's start by actually understanding whether a CIO agenda is a vision, a mission, or a goal for IT function in an organization, because its total lifespan is just 1 year.
Right. Well, you know, we've thought about this a lot, and I think it's an opportunity to sort of give a vision and to sort of reaffirm your underlying principles, in your organization, and make sure they tie in with the principles of your company or your large organization. So I'd say it's more of a vision, and we at Wharton are a very dynamic institution that lots always going on. So 1 year in our time frame feels very good to reaffirm this, or even fix it around the edges.
Yeah, I would say that for Austin Energy, it sort of fits into the sort of 12-month budgeting process, and basically it dovetails from the company strategic plan. In our case, we have a 10-year strategic plan that gets upgraded or reviewed massively every 2 years, and in the case of IT, we have a 5-year strategic plan that gets updated every 12 months, and the agenda is really the sort of direction, high level, vision work, as Deirdre was mentioning, that, we're shooting for the coming, sort of budget year, and then there's a discussion, at least in our case, among all the stakeholders, and ultimately, a budget comes out of that CIO agenda.
I think to some extent it looks, I might be making a bold statement here, but it looks redundant at times because we are doing so much other type of planning at all times. And given that a business does not change as a new year begins or anything like that, so all the other components that we are referring to in CIO agenda are also discussed and put in place in writing in different form or fashion anyways. So if this was not there, for example, we never spoke about CIO agenda, would we miss anything?
I think, the things like CIO agenda, I think, historically IT has been, the shop that either, it spends a lot of money and you hear about systems being broken all the time, and there's really no real lot of question, of value about IT and where's IT going, I'd say 5 years ago. Historically, IT has not had a lot of interest among the C-levels, in the C-suite, because I think we haven't been historically as successful as, talking about our goals and talking about our strategy and talking about how we are an important partner in the organization. So I think being able to communicate vision within your organization, and maybe even more importantly across the rest of your organization, I think it makes us seem more businesslike and more, an important partner in the company.
Yeah, I concur 100% with that, and actually I would add to explain it that without the CIO agenda, without the IT organization sort of publishing and writing its direction, its commitments long term, at least for the first next 12 months, in writing, and then sort of telling people what you're going to do, doing it, and then reminding people what you did, that you have a much harder opportunity of sort of creating excellence. And so by publishing the agenda, by talking about it, by being, if you will, more transparent, you probably bring a two-factor to a ten-factor of importance to the word accountability, which is back to the comment that Durda was making about the fact that, in a lot of shops, historically, IT has a reputation of being sort of like a black box. You throw a lot of money in there, and sometimes you don't get what you need out of it. And what the CIO agenda does is it sort of puts a spotlight and raises the level of accountability and transparency on what IT is up to.
So you're saying it's more like an internal PR with some more tangible benefits than just making waves?
Well, I think it helps refining of the planning. It also brings more thought and meat to the work that is being done. There's also a higher degree of need to alignment with the business on that agenda. And then there's an incredible amount of transparency and accountability that comes from it, not just within IT, but as IT is doing the work that is needed for the business to move forward, and so across the internal customer and the external customers.
Now, the way we are trying to talk about CIO agenda, if this is to be told to people, what people are we referring to? Is it just the internal crowd in the company, or are we talking even going out and discussing that in a seminar so that other people may come to know what this company is up to? And if that's the case, then this should also become a part of, say, an annual report of a public company for that matter, because essentially what we are telling is a company direction, like a CEO talks about a business vision, mission, or goal, or whatever that he's going to talk about from a business standpoint. IT also is becoming a core component, so that should go along with that as well.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. The best example, the most prominent two companies that I can think of an example of exactly publishing an annual report of their CIO agenda, and they're not afraid of sharing that because it may turn into giving heads up to their competitors, which is the reason why we haven't gotten there yet, is Intel and Whole Foods. The CIOs of both of those shops publish a annual report of their plan for the year, and I'm a subscriber of it.
Yeah, and I would say as a part of my job, working in a prestigious institution, working in a school, an ambitious school, one of the things that we value greatly is our prestige and our reputation. So part of my role is to really talk about how I run IT at the school and share that with my colleagues around the world, because I think, sometimes we get looked at as models for excellence in a variety of areas, and IT has been considered one of the pillars that we can use to support the school strategy. So I think it is important to talk about your agenda and where you're going, and I always appreciate hearing other people's perspectives because you always learn things that you can take back to the shop.
Mm-hmm. And coming back to the point about this being, you can say, an yearly wake-up call, if you will, for what you wanted to do and what you had been publishing in different formats and also discussing them in different forums along the whole year. But when comes the new year, we want to talk about this yet again and put a stamp of approval, put something in black and white so that folks outside and to ourselves, we are like committing. It's almost like taking a new year resolution,
mm-hmm.
putting it in writing and saying, hey, we had been discussing about this all along. Now let's put it in writing. And then the accountability factor that you referred to, Andres, mm-hmm. is what we are saying would come into play.
Mm-hmm.
Now coming to accountability, do you really think anybody looks back to a CIO agenda and slaps somebody's hand and say, hey, this is what we spoke about beginning of the year, come September, October, November, you still not achieved it, where are we with that? Does actual accountability-related, come to play?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, having an agenda or not having it, or publishing or not publishing, it's really a notion of the fact that, you know, IT more and more has to do a better job of marketing itself from within and externally. And the CIO agenda is, if you will, a platform, a vehicle for IT and the business to together commit to where the investments in information technology will be made and what benefits or what, you know, enhancements the organization is going to get out of it. And by doing it publicly or, you know, if you will, in black and white and share to whatever audience it gets to be shared with, you know, there's a much higher level of commitment to it. Now, you know, you would be able to explain, you know, if something happened and, you know, project X, Y, and Z got delayed, but in general, you know, the it's not that you write something and you walk away from it. Actually, there is, we do quarterly reviews of our progress and our annual plans, and it's a very open forum, and our line of business customers are invited to attend, and so there is an incredible amount of sense of, you know, responsibility to deliver on it.
Yeah, I also think, you know, as you create the agenda, you know, for your department, and then as you communicate it to your organization, you want to make sure it's compelling and interesting. I mean, they're not going to care about all the details and implementation plans, but if you're making commitments to, you know, really big initiatives and so on, I think someone's going to, you know, you're telling people publicly you're going to do, you know, have a certain initiative or create certain things or bring certain value. I mean, it's certainly, you know, observed and evaluated on those terms.
So when we talk about the very semantics or what goes into a CIO agenda, essentially we look at typical things. We talk about business IT alignment. We talk about cost reduction. We talk about reducing and mitigating risk. All these things have been always talked about every year.
Mm-hmm.
So we are just, you know, bringing the same set of things with different flavors, different packages, and presenting as an agenda. What does it actually buy us, other than the PR aspect of it, which we just discussed?
Well, I would say quickly that it buys you alignment within IT, alignment to the business, right? I mean, you wouldn't want to put anything in writing that hasn't been thought through and that there's no sponsorship for and that there's no buy into and that there's no, you know, desire on the ranking of the portfolio practice to do. So you're creating, by having that exercise, you are immediately creating alignment across the organization.
But did we do it in 2006, and now when we do it in 2007, does that make that additional impact that you're looking for by doing it every year, the same set of things?
Well, what happens is, Gerda was alluding to, saying that her business is very dynamic, and I think that, you know, there's an incredible amount of, you know, newness to the business, you know, new employees, new people, new departments, new business models, new customer sets, new changes, new rules, new regulations, and so the business gets morphed and impacted externally and internally, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 to 20% every year. So there is a set of the constituency, you know, the stakeholders all around that are new to it. And so you've got to have an ongoing refresher, an ongoing exercise of what we're doing and why we're doing it and what we did.
I think I have a good example. So, for example, you know, in most IT shops you have to keep what we call the buses running. So, you know, you need to run servers, you need to be secure, you need to do updates on operating systems and so on, you need to maybe run databases, email systems, so on and so forth. And, you know, so talking about that as part of the CIO agenda is, yeah, you got to do all that, you've got to, you know, run stuff, you got to mitigate risk, you want to do it in a very economically responsible way. But then, you know, we spend a lot of time doing new things. Recently, the school has been refocusing on the entire strategy about management education in the 21st century, and this has been a wonderful conversation. IT has been a big part of it. But so, for one example, is we're thinking hard about the role of technology in education and curriculum. We've done a bunch of work in this area, but we're refocusing that. So one of the things we're going to do this year is figure out how we can do some experiments in this area to deliver some new approaches to using technology in education and stuff and so on. So that all of a sudden really changes some of our focus this year, but we can't forget about the other important things. If we don't keep everything running, you know, we don't have any credibility or any way to deliver new systems and services that are important to the institution.
Now, when we talk about the fact that CIOs and CEOs sit together, work together, and also now that IT is becoming the very fabric for most organizations, essentially CEO's agenda, if you pick up, I think, quite a big percentage of what they are trying to get done would be directly impacted with how IT is being managed and how is IT being implemented. So when we come up with the CIO's agenda, is that always kept in mind, and what exactly is to be done so that while we have an intention as CIOs or IT leaders to take care of IT functions interest, because that's what the place we are leading, at the same time we've also been given the responsibility to help align with the business, but here it's a CEO's agenda and we need to preserve that and also meet our interests. So does this become a catch-22 situation, or is it something both things are going in the same direction and we can make that happen?
I think
sure.
Go ahead, Andres.
I would say that, you know, it's like managing a triangle or a square. There are different angles from it. And, you know, the CEO and the C-level suite plays a significant role on the success of that alignment. And so do the line of businesses, and so do your own customers and, you know, whatever big regulatory bodies that you depend on, and then, you know, IT itself. So the fact that you are on a continuous alignment of, you know, just because the CIO wants to do, you know, say, the CEO and says, okay, you know, we're about to join the 21st century. I want e-commerce. Let's assume there's one out there that hasn't done it. And then he turns to IT. Well, you know, just to deliver on that, IT has to do a lot of things that are different from what IT would have been doing if they are not doing it. So there's an incredible amount of, you know, ripple effect and alignment that needs to happen to take you from, you know, sort of the CIO agenda, which is maybe five sentences on a piece of paper, to a, you know, 30-page detail, high-level strategic, you know, plan for the next 12 months in IT.
I mean, my sense is that you're peril if you don't align yourself with the CEO agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you have, you know, a discussion about relevance in organizations? And I think it's probably no different than other business units, say marketing or finance. I mean, they need to be tied to the main agenda of the institution, because that's one way you know you're providing value and moving in the right direction with the company.
Yeah. Now the other side of it is actually my favorite one, which is, you know, IT influencing the CEO agenda.
Yeah.
and IT putting its own content on the CEO agenda.
So no, one thing is that we look at CIOs being the ones who have to go and make things happen, but would there not be a call to be made to CEO and say, hey, this is a CIO who's really working big time in terms of making everything happen. How about you also not exactly just consult, but also work towards a CIO's agenda? So it's like it has to be a dual, like the direction should be, it should be a bi-directional effort, or you can say it should be converging. A CEO and the CIO should be working towards the same agenda, and where CEO also should be looking at CIO, that what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
But does that actually happen, or is it a unit one-directional?
I mean, I think if you're providing value, it happens. I mean, as you were talking before, Sanjak, about, you know, IT being so much in the fabric of every company, you know, I think it does happen, because, you know, as we become more valuable, as we are more aligned with companies, I think, yeah, there are resources that head that way, there's support that heads that way. And maybe, and if we get more sophisticated about talking about what we do and talk about it more in business terms, then perhaps in computer science and engineering terms, you know, I think we're more compelling to the CEO as well, and they see more value.
Yeah, for me in particular, I'm a bit spoiled, and I have a good situation where I sit here because I sit next to the CEO, you know, and the CEO could have picked anybody to have sit next to him, but he decided to have the CIO sit next to him. For you. So that tells you the importance of that relationship.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, what I'm trying to point out is that there could be worse situations where in public companies, for example, where the shareholder value is paramount, everything mm-hmm. is driven by that. That's where most of the predicaments or most of the catch-22 situations could arise, where CIO wants to work, CEO wants to work, but he still has got a bigger responsibility is to report to the Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where things may go off balance. So is there something that CIO can do to make sure, other than keep nudging the CEO to help out, you know, some creative ways by which they can go? And I'm pretty sure there are situations happening like that all the time whenever shareholder value is taking more importance than what internally is happening.
Yeah, I mean, you know, something that we do here very methodically is we have a very detailed sort of calendar of events, of IT activities, and we have interaction, sort of lengthy interaction within all the IT members, listening to executives and VPs and directors talk about their parts of their businesses. And I happen to schedule the CEO to interact with IT methodically throughout the year at different venues. So he gets to be face-to-face with IT at different levels. He gets to interact with different levels of management in IT. We bring a lot of the IT middle management into the executive suite to make presentations on progress and big projects. And then obviously he sits next to me. So you know, just by, you know, scheduling the activities around your plan and when the CEO should show up and give a pep talk or talk about the importance of, you know, ISO standardization or CMM or whatever pitch about quality or, you know, good to great transformation you want the CEO to drive for IT or on behalf of IT are excellent opportunities to leverage him or her.
And go ahead, Deidre.
One of the things I think that is really kind of a nice opportunity we have in IT is that we're into every business function usually in the company, we get to see a lot that's going on in other business units, and the reverse might not be true. But we have wonderful opportunities to transform businesses and business processes and strategies perhaps in other business areas if people are receptive and if you present it the right way, just because of the nature of the work that we do.
Mm-hmm. So talking about the fact that CIO agenda usually could be a couple of lines at the very high level, and that is what is to be shown to the CEOs and other business unit leaders for it to make sense and everybody buys in. But frankly, would they really buy in just at that level? Would there not be much more detailing out required, even for them, than what just we will do for our internal people? Or because all sorts of plans are there, so is this CIO agenda a plan for a plan?
I think that the CIO agenda, it's sort of an executive summary of where you're heading together as a company. It's not something that gets created within IT for IT. It's really a crystallization of sort of the high-level execution plan that we're going to be launching in the next 12 months. And so, in a sense, it is an executive summary or a briefing of a lot of other operating and tactical plans that are going on in IT for, you know, keeping the lights on, growth projects or transformation projects.
So talking about the CIO agenda-related discussions and seminars we see all the time happening, that is very typical that we would discuss what has happened there and what are a lot of people talking about, and then there would be a bunch of articles being written in different magazines. And there is a possible risk because not many companies are as methodical and as, you can say, fortunate to have CIOs like Aditra and Andres who have got a good hand on their shoulder. They've got crystallized thoughts very well, you know, aligned with the business. So they are struggling, and then there you go. They find something which is said at high level, and there are a couple of lines put as an executive summary, and that's presented to the CEOs, and the thing gets done, and they get the kudos, but nothing gets crystallized, and IT doesn't deliver the value that it is expected to. So is there a way by which, besides the fact that, you know, this leadership could be changed or they could be groomed in other fashion, but this CIO agenda-related exercise could be made as a process for most companies, or at least being presented to most people as a process, so that as part of that process, they will not go and take some just sacred cows and, you know, those kind of things.
And so can you rephrase? You're saying you're worried about the CIO agenda just turning into this kind of
fusion
style?
Yeah, we anything which happens in terms of CIO agenda or anything which is spoken in seminars and magazines, mm-hmm. I know of situations where people have said, I don't understand what you guys are talking about, but I love those three-letter acronyms that you speak about, and I'm going to use them in my next meeting.
Well, I think we are, as in business, in IT, at risk of that in many ways. I think many of us have come from engineering, computer science backgrounds, and I think the role of the CIO is really transformed, that you need to think more about strategy, need to think more about communicating with people. I think we're very good at defining processes and finding solutions and so on and so forth, but I do think there needs to be a bigger approach, maybe a more holistic approach to running an IT shop than ever before. And again, this is why I think IT is getting more respect on the C-suite level, because I do think, just we talked about communications, working with other people, understanding other people's issues in the company. And yeah, I do think there is a risk of, I think you're digging down, it's just not the CIO agenda, but there is a risk for IT managers just to get dragged down in the details and in running systems and so on and so forth. So we have more responsibility in the business to think about, actually an executive level and what really an executive level means on a broader scale than just running IT and running systems.
So talking about the due diligence that has to be put in place, there are, of course, a couple of things. As we said, we have been having plans created at different levels, and we have spoken about IT strategies, IT tactical things, and the operational part of IT at all different times. And then all that gets crystallized into so-called executive summary, which Andre just mentioned. Now, is that the due diligence especially being done to create agenda, or this is just like an automatic, output of all the things that we do throughout the year, and this turns out to be a crystallization which is just presented as is, or you take this as a goal in mind when you're doing a couple of things?
Yeah, I can speak on how we do it. I mean, we're about to go on an offsite tomorrow and Friday, my team, and so is our quarterly offsite, but this quarter in particular, it's important because it begins our budgeting process for FY08. So we are going to review the strategic plan. Basically, we're going to look at, the next 5 years, and then we're going to look at the agenda for the next 12. So out of these 2 days, we will come up with, if you will, the theme for the CIO agenda for the next 12 months.
Okay, let's talk about the fact that if you have got anything which is happening in the CIO agenda, like 2006, we discussed about something, and then comes the, we execute whatever was there in the agenda to our best capacity, and comes the end of the year, we talk about accountability, there comes the fact that there should be some sort of a review process and or a lessons learned process which we have to work with, so that we can see how well did we lay out the CIO agenda, what was the effectiveness of that, and what did we get done and what we did not get done, basically overall review. So what is a typical process that is followed or should be followed in order for us to really make the best out of what we did as part of laying our CIO agenda in the beginning of the year or just before the year began? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages and talk more about it.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align information technology with their business objectives through its full line of staffing and outsourcing services. Whether it's hiring top technology talent or developing mission-critical business solutions, we back it up with an unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT better. www.aval.com. Visit today.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming!
Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
With 55 million blogs and counting, blogging is no longer just for anxiety-ridden teenagers or unemployed pundits with too much time on their hands. Companies are joining the blogosphere by the dozens. Corporate blogging is no longer optional. But how do you take your first steps into the blogosphere? On the Corporate Blogging Show, host corporate and CEO blogging consultant Debbie Weil, author of the Corporate Blogging Book, talks in practical terms, no techie talk allowed, with some of the savviest practitioners of this new way of marketing and communicating online. Learn how you can incorporate all the newest social media tools, including blogs, podcasts, and online video, into your website, and have fun while you're doing it. Yes, this wild new weekly world of blogs is supposed to be fun. The Corporate Blogging Show with Debbie Weil, broadcast each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel. The Corporate Blogging Show, your no-nonsense guide to the blogosphere.
If you're looking to improve sales results, increase revenue, acquire new customers, or just retain existing ones, listen to Sales Talk with nationally recognized sales and customer relationship management consultant, speaker, sales trainer, and author, Russ Lombardo. On Sales Talk, Russ provides insights and knowledge about today's best-selling techniques and methodologies. Learn about the latest sales-related software and tools to help organize your efforts for achieving more efficiency and get a better understanding of what services are available to improve sales results. On Sales Talk, Russ Lombardo and his expert guests get down to brass tacks and talk about what's needed today to succeed in sales. Whether you're a sales manager, sales professional, business owner, or entrepreneur, you'll benefit from the business insights, experience, and knowledge. Sales Talk with Russ Lombardo, broadcast each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel. Sales Talk with Russ Lombardo, insights, experience, and knowledge at the click of a mouse.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align information technology with their business objectives through its full line of staffing and outsourcing services. Whether it's hiring top technology talent or developing mission-critical business solutions, we back it up with an unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT better. www.aval.com. Visit today.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who just tuned in, today's topic is CIO New Year Agenda, a weather forecast, or more. Our guests for today's show are Deidre Woods and Andre Carvalho. Deidre is the CIO with the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, and Andre Carvalho is the Chief Information Officer with Austin Energy. Before the break, we were just about to talk about when the year is over, and we have to look at what we decided as the CIO agenda for that given year, or like for the previous year. There has to be some sort of a review process in place and the lessons learned process in place so that we are able to validate how well we did, and if at all we fell short of what was expected, what happened. And in fact, before I go in there, you know, it also ties back to what are the typical usual mistakes that people would make when they were just about to come up with their next CIO agenda. So let's talk about that usual mistake portion first, and then we can go into the review process, because that, you know, what you've learned in the past, if it's not put in the next year, then you'll be making the same mistakes. Who goes first?
Ladies first.
Okay, I mean, I think one of the things that, you know, one of the things that do move around from us, you know, as, so we can't do everything, all those things in one year. We have a certain baseline level of service and a certain level of initiatives we like to do every year. But, you know, beyond that, we serve different customers. In our case, we our students, our alumni, and our faculty are our customers. Our colleagues and other business units are our business partners. So, you know, in a certain year, we might decide to have a really strong, and I would say in the past year, we've done a lot of work in the area of support for research, and, you know, support for research in the world of Web 2.0, research collaboration, you know, a truly global research environment. At the same time, we have students we want to support, and them good service, we make sure we take care of them. But this year, one of the things we're looking at for students, for example, is the whole world of communications for students in higher education, and, you know, how we could partner with larger companies and so on and so forth. So that would be something different we'd be doing. Last year, we sort of evaluated where we are in research, and, you know, each year, things ebb and flow across our different constituents as we add value to each area.
Andre?
Well, I would say that it's a complex choice that one must make at every step of the way, and sort of the tug of war between focusing on the fun activities, if you will, which are sort of the new activities that come into the business, the new initiatives, versus sort of the running things and on a daily basis and the operational efficiency of keeping the lights on, if you will. And so, you know, there's always that kind of tug of war there. And so, to me, it's a function of how well you are sort of understanding and defining the concept of the demand that is being imposed in your business, and then the supply, if you will, the resources that you have available to deliver on that demand. And so there's a lot of things that IT can do better to manage demand, to sort of not be doing 90% keeping the lights on work and only 10% kind of grow in transformational work, which is sort of the fun work. But, you know, in an ideal scenario, you would want to be investing your CapEx and your OpEx into maybe more like a half and half, you know, and that would be a much better scenario to be in. So, and that requires an incredible amount of discipline on managing demand. And obviously, in order to get there, you have to have, you know, what I call world-class supply delivery.
Now, we talk about the fact that the CIO agenda has been changing over the years. You know, at different times we've seen people focusing on different things. It could be security one year, it could be something else. Now, given that we had 5 points and we can literally count on fingers how many basic IT functions are there which we need to focus on, so why the fact is suddenly, is it more like a hype where we say, okay, now security is the topmost thing and now it doesn't show up on the agenda at all?
Well, I think that what happens is if you were to survey CIOs all over and you were to really kind of try to understand what they're working on, usually what happens is, and it's back to this sort of concept of the 12 things you want must do to run IT as a business, and there's a maturity model attached to it. So if you as an organization, as part of your DNA, maturity progress, do something really, really well, then it's really not a big focus. It's not really a big initiative for the year. So those agendas usually speak to the things that you are either trying to fix because they're broken, or they're very strategic and important in terms of, you know, new revenue or new students or new customers or new anything. Or, you know, it's a transformational big pet project, maybe driven by, you know, the CEO of the company, or, you know, the board of directors, or maybe a new regulatory thing. Like, you know, 5 years, 7 years ago, the number one CIO agenda item was, you know, Sarbanes-Oxley, right? So
the good old socks.
Yeah, exactly. So these things kind of, you know, sneak up on the charter depending on, you know, are you trying to fix something that is broken? Are you trying to, you know, do some reengineering and innovation on something that you already do well but you want to do better because you can? Or are you trying to tackle something new? And so usually for the purposes of simplicity, you kind of tend to kind of skip over a lot of things that you do every day in IT, but if you didn't do, the shop would shut down. But the, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's like turning the lights on, right? When was the last time you thought about the boiling of the water that gets done with the different materials that I do to move the actual electrons to the wires that, you know, eventually deliver the electricity to your house that is done by a company like Austin Energy with all kinds of millions of dollars and all kinds of IT people. You never think about it. You just take it for granted.
So you had a thought, Deidre, that you wanted to
share? I mean, one of the things, you know, I think another dimension that Andres is, as he was talking about this, is, you know, something that can be expensive. So, for example, we have a new building, and we're running into our first series of renovations into the building, and we're doing it year by year. But we're renovating over 60 classrooms, and we're renovating over 30 conference rooms with, you know, on-demand digital systems, so on and so forth. So that kind of, and also we have classes start at certain time periods. I'm sure it's probably delivering electricity is harder because there's every time you have to deliver electricity. But I mean, so, you know, we must get these things done, and it would be very visible. And, you know, if we need to do them 60 times or 80 times, and it would be very visible if we did not succeed in that. So those are kinds of things that are, you know, important to the school because of the operations requirement of it, because it's very important of us delivering our product. And also, frankly, because of the expense of doing something like that on such a large scale.
Talking about, you know, what has been happening, what do you see 2007 agenda looks like if you were to take a common denominator? What are people trying to do right now this year?
I think a lot of people continue to talk about security. I think a lot of people are talking about virtualization. A lot of people are talking about SOA, SOAs. A lot of people are trying to do business process management, business process monitoring. There's a lot of energy around those things right now.
Yeah, I think the virtualization is very, very appealing to people. I think people I've talked to are really getting interested in the whole Web 2.0 concept within companies. How do you manage all this content? How do you, you know, take advantage of blogging, RSS feeds, so on and so forth? How do you use rich internet applications in a certain way for your company, for your shop, and so on? So there seems to be a lot of conversation about that as well.
So talking about security first, I was actually reading an article. They mentioned that right now also security does come into that chart, but it comes at a much lower set of priorities. You know, just kind of you say different things top the chart at different years. So security has come down a little bit. Now other things are taking priority. And then now talking about the fact that Web 2.0 related things what Deidre mentioned, guess what? Talking about CIO agenda, does a CEO care if Web 2.0 related technology was there or not? So how is that so-called business to IT alignment will be fulfilled if somebody were to put Web 2.0 as the main core backbone of IT or any kind of communication that's going to happen? But let's talk about this when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found a small patch of plastic on my right shoulder.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something?
Let's go! All right, then. Hit him. I know you can hear this. Hey, guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming!
Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with the mission to help companies align information technology with their business objectives through its full line of staffing and outsourcing services. Whether it's hiring top technology talent or developing mission-critical business solutions, we back it up with an unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT better. www.aval.com. Visit today.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Today's topic is CIO New Year Agenda, a weather forecast, or more. And our guests for today's show are Deidre Woods and Andre Carvalho. Deidre is the CIO with the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, and Andre is the Chief Information Officer with Austin Energy. Before the break, we spoke about briefly regarding the CIO agenda for 2007, and some of the things which were brought up were that security is still there, and secondly, Web 2.0. Talking about security, it's been able to stay in the chart for quite some time. Earlier, it used to top the charts no more, though. Then why is that? That is because either we are less fearful or we have made our fort secure. Now, coming to Web 2.0, what is the direct connection that a CEO or CIO would see with an IT function becoming more robust and giving more business value if you were to be able to do RSS feeds or podcasts and other form of Web 2.0 applications?
Well, I think, Sanjog, I have an example here at Wharton. We have a biweekly newsletter and website called Knowledge at Wharton. And originally it started as, it's sort of a journal of business commentary by our faculty members, some of their research, and also business people in business all over the world. And originally we started as an email, you know, mailing, which we still do, and we certainly have a website. But one of the things we also have permitted over time is RSS feeds from Knowledge at Wharton to anyone who wants to pick us up. So now we're mentioned on CNET. We're mentioned, you know, interesting content is mentioned all over the world. And I think, you know, in terms of maximizing Wharton's prestige and reputation, and really, letting the world know about our community of management scholars, this has been an excellent example. I don't know if we'd ever use the words, this is Web 2.0 technologies, but what we can say is right now we have, you know, over 600,000 readers in 189 countries who are picking up Knowledge at Wharton content somehow. And, you know, we're back in the world. This has been a wonderful example of Web 2.0.
Yeah, and then to me what I would say is that, Web 2.0, being all sort of customer, consumer focus, will find its way through SOA into, what I would call enterprise 2.0. And the beauty of all the new, mechanisms or artifacts of delivering information and interacting with stakeholders is that, again, they're yet new channels, new ways of doing things. So, when you're thinking of, you know, what does this all mean and what does it replace? Well, it's just new ways of interacting with new audiences at different levels. So, you know, just like everybody thought that, you know, somehow the radio was going to kill the newspaper, and the TV was going to kill the radio, and, you know, cable was going to kill TV, and the internet was going to kill cable, you know, RSS and wikis and blogs and mashups and tagging and all these things are just new mechanisms, new ways of redefining and resending and repackaging content and interacting with people in different ways.
Now, at the same time, while we have got all the good things that we would like to bring on the table as CIO agenda and then try to, you know, make them happen, we are also being put under the gun to do more with less. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't eat the cake and have it too. Is the leadership realizing that?
Well, you know, the way I kind of tackle that is that, you know, there's this demand and supply issue about running IT. And for me, it was somewhat easy to explain because in the electric business, when demand doesn't equal supply as it relates to the electric grid, what do you have? Well, you have an outage, a blackout, right? So it is funny to me that while that is very well understood in the world of physics, it's not very well understood anywhere else outside of the world of physics. It's just sort of impossible to deliver a program or a set of programs that require, you know, say 20,000 hours of Java programming when you only have a budget that you can buy either with internal resources or external resources for, say, 1,000 hours, right? So, and that's sort of the disconnect that what the demand side continues to demand and require of IT seems to sort of be a wish list like my 10-year-old writing for Santa Claus. That is, you know, sometimes a bit out of touch with what's possible. And that comes not because there is real, you know, business ignorance. Don't take me wrong. I don't mean to say that at all. It's totally the opposite. It's the fact that IT is more like, you know, the alchemists of the early centuries. You know, we're still in black robes with black boxes, and it's all magic, you know. And what needs to happen is IT needs to do an incredible amount of effort everywhere outbound of educating its constituencies, its stakeholders, yeah. Right? Because you got to demystify either the simplicity of it or the complexity of it, mm-hmm. either way, you know. And IT must not be afraid of sharing the truth about what it takes to change a password, which is, you know, 30 seconds, or to, you know, write, a new web page on HTML, which is, you know, 10 minutes. So those are the kind of things that need to happen. There's an incredible amount of education that, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, and it doesn't need to happen entirely to the point of everybody understanding what it takes to write a Java program, but that it will come from truly this whole notion of SOA, business process management, computers and business modeling software programs, allowing business users moving business relationships on a point-and-click interface, look and feel. And then the IT infrastructure that enables those processes sort of remapping itself to the new business process. And that transformation, which has been sort of the biggest epiphany that has happened here at Austin Energy, will sort of, you know, shed an incredible amount of light in the effort and the infrastructure and the time that it takes and the money to make some of these things real.
Yeah, I don't think it could be anywhere well put on, Jess. I think that's really excellent. And I think the point about CIOs being more sophisticated about computing, talking about their business is an important part of this. I also wonder about that premise about doing more with less, though. I mean, we went through a really wonderful growth period. We went through the dot bust where everyone was, you know, not really very interested in IT and it was all just a house of cards. Then we've gone through this world of outsourcing. There was tremendous shine of outsourcing. I think there's more realism of outsourcing and offsourcing right now about what you can really get or what you cannot. You know, if you sort of look at the market, you look at the stock market, you look at venture capitalists, you look at all the buzz that's going around, there's a lot more interest in technology. And I also have to tell you, value from where I sit in terms of, you know, hiring people, all of a sudden, you know, we're, once again, it's being more challenging to find people. So I do think, I think the tide is turning again, and I think, you know, the sense of doing more with less, well, we really need to be very economically responsible. I'm not sure if that premise is going to be true for 2007.
Yeah, and I would say that while in general I think most experts are predicating out there that budgets will stay flat and whatnot, and some people are suspicious about the state of the economy going forward, I would tell you this. In my opinion, the epiphany at Austin Energy will replicate itself in time in a lot of places, and it's this. The company realized that the business processes that enable the business models in the markets that Austin Energy goes after are far more important than anything else. So it is that business process transformation and the things, the artifacts, people, systems, buildings that deliver on those business processes that makes this work or not work. And to be competitive in the 21st century in a world of iPhones and Web 2.0 and, you know, broadband to the curve on Fiverr and all these things that are coming at us at a very fast pace, companies must need to make an incredible amount of investment to reinvent themselves.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would really like to thank you, Deirdre and Andre, for sharing your thoughts about how CIO Agenda can actually be used to align IT priorities with business and also focus IT organizations' effort towards specific goals. For some, CIO Agenda could be a good topic for a water cooler conversation. However, it has a strategic importance and allows IT to focus its planning and implementation towards one goal, that is running IT like a business and has the same priorities and goals as a business. What is your CIO Agenda for 2007? Does it match with your business goals? Send us your thoughts at views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Gall, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. Please join Sungjoe Gall next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another hour of CIO Talk Radio, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.